Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Good. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, can we welcome those of us who are joining us live stream? Can we do that? Love you guys. Thanks for joining us all from all over. We appreciate them, don't we? Yeah, we do. We do. We'd love for you to see them, though, right? So if you're local, definitely stop by. Definitely stop by. Hey, I've got something in my hand, and before I get to it, I just want to say something really quick. Last week I wasn't here, and I just want to say thank you for those of you who've just supported me and my family, my extended family. As you guys know, we had a death in our extended family. My brother-in-law passed away. But God moved in the midst of all of that, and I'll probably have a conversation with you later on as a couple of months progress, as just the miracles in the midst of all of that. But I just want to take some time and just say thank you for those of you who gave towards it, for those of just the prayers, and people who gave online as well, and love that you guys are part of my life, and you really blessed my family. Those of you who just gave, and you wrote a note, said something. So thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much. Hey, this morning I want to continue the conversation that we've been having. And last week, Pastor Greg talked about having a spiritual team, talking about getting into a small group. And this morning I want to continue that conversation because last week's conversation was hard for some of us. I think it was hard for some of us to kind of go, okay, I'm going to get into a Bible study, or I'm going to get into a small group, and maybe you still haven't done it. You're like, I haven't done it, so okay. But I want to encourage you, why don't you try it? I want you to try this. It's hard for you, but it's worth it. Because this morning, I want to continue to have a conversation about doing hard things, which transitions really well to yoga. Yes, I have a love-hate relationship with this thing. Who loves yoga? Anybody love yoga? Anybody? Yeah, yes, you know one. No one loves yoga. No one loves yoga. I know. You love it because you love it, and I don't know if you love it because you hate it or you hate it because you love it. I don't know what the deal is. I love the idea of yoga. I know I need it. I know that what it does for me is so much more than I could ever realize. If I want to get stronger, faster, I know I need to do yoga. The problem with yoga is that it makes me stretch. It pushes me in areas, in ways that it's not just normal, right? Like no one just randomly walks around and all of a sudden goes into a downward dog. Anybody? Have you seen that? Because if that happens, that's a problem. That's a problem. Or you're in a club. And either way, it's bad. It's a bad situation, right? I mean, when I go to pick up something, I don't do a deep lunge. I don't do that. Anybody? No. If you are giving directions, anybody do a warrior one and then warrior two, like reverse? It's over there. What you're looking for is over there. Okay. No one does that. We don't do, this isn't normal. These stretch moves, these moves are not normal. I mean, some of the names of these poses, who came up with them? I mean, obviously I know it's like either, you know, it's Hindi or a different language. I understand that, but just the poses, ridiculous. Why am I talking about this? Because I want you to just go with me for the next few minutes or the half hour we have together. And I wanna talk to you about this idea of stretching and pushing. Now, what I mean by that is I want you, and if you're taking notes, here's where we're gonna dissect this idea. I want you to reach, I'm sorry. Let's do it again. No, I want you to stretch so you can discover your reach, and I want you to push to discover your potential. I want you to understand that this morning is about God maybe talking to some of you, if not all of you, about this idea of stretching and pushing yourself. Good coaches, good mentors, they always stretch your thinking, they always push you to new things. I wonder if you and I would take a minute, take this moment that we have together and go, okay, could it be possible that God actually wants me to stretch so I can discover how far I can reach? And does God want me to push even more, even though I feel like I want to give up, I want to stop, I want to quit, I want to push so I can actually discover my potential? That's the big idea this morning. And here's why. And we started a conversation called chrysalis. This idea of like that a chrysalis is a transformative state in which a moth, in which a caterpillar goes to become a butterfly. And understanding that, we said, okay, what if this year we took ourselves in through that process? What if we were allowing ourselves to basically create among in our lives, maybe in our families, among our friends, a transformative state, and we jumped on into a process? It would be transformation. It would be a chrysalis around us, and we begin to do certain things that would make lasting change happen, and not just, you know, hey, this is a resolution for the year, and you just don't keep it up. No. This is a process. What if we decided that we were going to create a chrysalis around us, a chrysalis process around us? And so if you remember when we kicked off the series, our working definition was this, that it this idea of chrysalis, this idea of transformation, it has to do with this. It has to do with a revision, do you remember, of identity, belief, and behavior. Identity, belief, and behavior. And so we covered that. We covered a little bit of belief, I think Pastor Greg did. But this morning, I want to talk about this idea of behavior. You and I have to revisit what it means to change our behavior. Again, this is not going to be a conversation about, hey, these are some, you need to get up earlier in the morning. How many of you know you need to do that? How many of you just want to love to do that? Right. This is deeper. This is actually moving our hearts and minds, aligning ourselves to something that causes deeper change. How do we revisit and revision our behavior? I think fundamentally what we have to understand is this passage of scripture that we started off with. The passage of scripture was in Romans 12. You guys remember that? Romans 12, let me read this to you. It says this, it says, do not what? Help me out. Conform, let's do it one more time. And those of you who are watching as well, do not what? Conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You have to revisit the way you look at behavior and what you do when it comes to your behavior. And so we actually said, right, we have to intentionally transform, because if we don't, then we're subconsciously conforming to a pattern that is normal. So here's what's normal. What's normal is, in life, we think, we believe for so long that when we have great insight, it leads to great action. So you've heard the phrase, right? The truth will what? Set you free. People love that. It's a t-shirt. Yes, truth will set you free. Incomplete. Not necessarily fully, not true. Living out the truth will set you free. I can give you truth all day long. You don't have to do anything. Guess what you're going to do? Nothing. Guess what's going to change? Nothing. Yes. Yes, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. We all know what to do. The problem is not in the knowing. It's in the doing. We would all have six packs. We would. And by the way, you do have six packs, all of us. It's just hidden. It's hidden. They're there. They're in there somewhere. They are. There. No one should ever tell you you don't have one. Anyway, the problem is in the doing. So could it be possible that this idea, this notion of like great insight leads to great action, or insight leads to action, maybe it's incorrect. In fact, I believe it is incorrect. It truly is. There's a great book called Creativity Inc. I just finished it, and it's by the president of Pixar and Disney, and he talks about this idea of how we think that if we just know certain things, we will do great things. If we understand processes and we are able to invent and create and develop new ideas, new stories, and new films. He said the problem is that's not necessarily true. It's in the process of where you actually make mistakes, in the process of rewriting and rewriting and rewriting and rewriting. He tells a story, amazing stories of how Toy Story was made, and how these great movies that we love, the movie Up, you guys remember that? There's so many movies that really redefined the industry were not created because people had a great idea, a great story, and then you just kind of made it happen. In fact, he tells the story. He tells that the Toy Story and all the other great movies that I actually love started with a story, and then the story kept on changing while they were actually making it. Basically, the point is this: it's not great insight that leads to action. It's actually action that leads to insight. See, so many of us have lived our lives going, you know what? I want to discover my purpose. I want to know my calling. I want to know what God wants me to do. I feel like I need to do this or I need to do that, and I'm just not sure. I'm not just sure. And you know, in Christian world, we say this, right? We have language like, I have found my calling. I have found my purpose. Calling is not found. It's cultivated. It's never found. Purpose is never just. It's a process of discovery. It's a process of you actually moving towards something and doing something that stretches you and doing something that's not normal, that moves you. And so when the scripture says, I want you to renew your mind, it says, I want you to move out of the patterns of what is normal in your everyday behavior, in how you behave at work and how you behave in your relationships. I want you to change all these things because you might think, no, I just need to know what I need to do. And God says, no, I just want you to do something because then you will know. And for so many of us, even in the Christian world, we go what? We wait to see, you know, we wait on the Lord, right? We know that phrase, we wait on the Lord. We get that, we understand that. But that is so misinterpreted. Because honestly, the reality is that you have to go until you hear no. You actually have to move forward, and then God will direct you as you move. The promises of God are never to people who are live their lives stationary. The promises of God are those to people who are constantly moving ahead. And so for you and I, to move means that we will discover. And so many of us, we've been sold a lie. Like, hey, you need to go for your dreams, because if you go for your dreams, you live the most fulfilled life and you'll be successful. You have to move past that. The mentality of like, I need to move forward and risk and stretch and do something because I will be successful, you need to throw that away. The truth is this, is you have to make not success the big thing, not success like the main objective. You have to make discovery your big thing, learning your big thing, becoming who you are the big thing. In this book, he introduces a concept called Frankenstein. And he talks about how like writers editors will sometimes work on a movie and they'll present like, hey, this is the movie that's upcoming and we would like to make it, like get the funding for it. And in his business, they said that they would call it, oh, that's a Frankenstein. And he explained that. He said, basically, a Frankenstein is when people take parts of movies and stories and ideas and make a movie. Have you ever watched a movie and you're like, that's like those three movies put together. They kind of just took parts of it. He calls it a Frankenstein. So many people, because of the lack of discovery and because of the lack of actually pushing themselves and stretching themselves, live a life that I call Frankenstein. Your life is just pieces of everybody else's, or like four other people. Your personality is actually the five people you follow on Instagram. That really is it. Like, you have never discovered who you are. You're a Frankenstein. And then I think, for some of us, we're not Frankensteins, we're Barbies. I had to bring Barbie up. Barbies are not like you have, it's not a combination of like five different opinions that you think. It's this one just ridiculous image of you, of what you think is perfection in your life, and you're trying to be that. And you think that's the most attractive whatever, and you're trying to be that. All of those things can be avoided. You can avoid being a Frankenstein, you can avoid being a Barbie by just stretching and doing things to discover your reach and push yourself to actually discover your potential, doing things that change the way you live your life. And so what does it mean? For some of us, you have to change the way you lead. Change the way you parent. Change the way you care for people. Change your perspective on life itself and the way you're living. You have to change it. Not like, hey, I gotta get up earlier and I gotta eat this and I gotta watch my calories and all that. No, I'm having a broader, bigger conversation. You have to change something deeper within you and goes, okay, I'm going to commit to becoming who I am. I'm going to commit to discover who I am and be who God created me to be. So I want to take you to a passage of a scripture. This one is actually Jesus talking about two accounts that took place. Now, those two accounts you guys know about. Anybody remember the feeding of 5,000? Anybody know that story? Right? He fed the 5,000. You also remember, right? There were two accounts of that, right? There's like the feeding of the 5,000, and then there's a feeding of, anybody know? No one knows. Okay. You guys know? Maybe, right? Type it down. It's 4,000. So there's a story of feeding the 5,000, and then the story of 4,000. Some of you are looking like, really? I did not know that. Yes, there are two accounts. For the longest time, I thought it was only one account. They just kept on repeating. I was like, oh, they're just telling the gospels, they're telling the same story. Two different accounts. Here's what's interesting about that. The whole concept of those, if you've ever heard the story of feeding the 5,000, it starts off like this, right? Jesus is talking to a huge group of people. He has compassion on them, or it's getting late. He says, hey, let's feed them. The disciples come to him and they go, we got nothing, right? And then one disciple, probably Peter, steals a kid's lunch. Remember that? Remember that, right? We got some fish nuggets here. Okay, what do you want to do here? We got some bread. What do you want to do? And I don't know. They're like, hey, we have this. And so when Jesus, what does he do, right? He takes it, he blesses it, he tells them to sit down, and then he starts dividing them up, right? You know the end of the story? What happens? Everybody gets what? Everybody gets fed? Of course, everybody gets fed. They have stuff left over, right? And the moral of the story is this. What's the moral of the story? God will take whatever little you have and multiply it. Great story. Great. That's awesome. But could it be possible that Jesus was trying to actually convey something much deeper than what we have just received from it? Story happens again. Feeds the 4,000. Same thing. It's late. A lot of people. This time, there's no kid because the kid was smart. He's like, I'm not showing up. I'm not showing up to this thing. I know every time I show up, they take my lunch. Okay. So he is nowhere in the picture. They find some other food. I don't know who. And they do the same thing. Moral of the story, same thing. God will take the little. In his hand, it increases. And then divide it up. Great point. Good. Very useful. But maybe there's something deeper. And here's what's really deep about this. Right, so the account of these feedings took place. Let me explain it to you. So you have the Sea of Galilee. In the north, you have Galilee, and Jesus feeds 5,000 there. Once he does that, he actually takes the boat, goes south, passes the river, goes into another place. It's remote. This place is called Delapolis. And there he feeds 4,000 people. Then they actually go head back. They're on the river again, and they go, the Sea of Galilee River, they go back again to Galilee. This conversation that I'm about to read to you is happening after they read 5,000, not after they fed the 5,000. No, they fed the 5,000, they fed the 4,000, they're headed back to where they had the 5,000. And Jesus, for the first time, explains why in the world did he feed all these people? And we just thought, oh, God just is nice, right? And of course, God is nice. And God wants to bless us, right? That's the whole point, isn't it? God wants to bless us. But there's something deeper. You see, in Christianity, sometimes the notion is God wants to bless you. Hashtag blessed. Right? You're a spiritual person, you're a Christian because you use the hashtag. That's what it is. And so with Jesus, the hashtag is different. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be blessed, but actually I'm trying to do something else. I don't want to give you a blessing, I want to make you one. Like, I want you to become a blessing. It's about being a blessing, not getting a blessing. That's the whole point. You see, you might be a Christian if you are blessed, but you become the church when you're being a blessing. That changes the game. And so here, they're headed back, and Jesus starts having a conversation. Okay, they're on the boat. Now here's what happened. We start off, and this is a matter of fact. So this is Mark chapter 8, verse 14. This is a matter of fact statement. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. So Mark here, by the way, says, hey, by the way, we forgot the bread. Like, we fed everybody else, and on the way back, we forgot it. We had just one loaf. And that was in Luke's man bag and whatever. And that's all we had. Verse 15, though, it says, that was a matter of fact, that Jesus kind of walks by and he says this. He says, be careful, Jesus warned them. He says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So Jesus is known for this. He kind of walks by and goes, here's a bomb, boom, and keeps on going. People are going, what happened? What was that? What yeast of who? What's going on? Right? Jesus is known to just drop these amazing, profound thoughts, right? So he just says, hey, watch out. By the way, watch out for the yeast of Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, if you're taking notes, you want to underline that. Why is that so important? What's going on? What's going on? The disciples are thinking the same thing. They're like, they're on the boat. They're like, he just said this. And I'm sure someone is looking at someone going, did you tell him? Did you tell him we forgot the bread? Did you tell him? Who told him? Okay? Because in verse 16, they discussed with one another and said, is it because we have no bread? Like, this is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. You're like, is that why he said that? There's no bread? I mean, I'm just saying, I know it's my fault, but I just got caught up in the whole giving people bread and fish. My pleasure. You're like, I just forgot. And then aware of their discussion, Jesus answered them. And then he says this. He says, why are you talking about having no bread? Which the people would say, that's why. Okay, then we have bread. We have it. It's in your hands. Like, what? We have bread, right? He keeps on going. He says, do you still not see or understand? Basically, do you not get why we fed all these people twice? Are your hearts hardened? Do you not have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? And they're like, what? Okay. And then Jesus continues. He says, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, when I broke the five loaves of 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And then he says, and when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, you remember that? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7? And then he said to them, do you not still understand? And I'm sure disciples are like, see, the thing with Jesus in the scriptures is like, he's sometimes sarcastic. Like, he is. Like, I know we want to make Jesus as baby Jesus all sweet, but he's sometimes like, are you serious? Are you serious? You don't get this. See, what Jesus was saying is like, the reason why I had you be a part of creating a blessing for people is what I wanted to teach you is that you have the capacity to be a blessing, and not just a capacity to receive, but actually a capacity to give. It says you have the responsibility as believers to give. You have responsibility as believers not to get and hoard and get all the blessings of God, but you have a responsibility to give away the blessings of God. You don't need to live a life that people serve you. You need to live a life that you serve people. That is the whole point of this. And when he says, hey, don't let the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod get into you, what he's referencing there is this idea of leavened bread. This idea of leaven is basically, or yeast is how those people understood it is that you can take a part of an old or a lump of bread or a dough and put it into a new one, and actually it will puff up. That's how you make sourdough bread. So basically, a small piece of something, of an old dough put into a new one, affects the whole dough. Basically, he's saying, don't let this idea that you have to have spiritual authority, Pharisees, that... and then you are responsible. Don't think that only certain spiritual people are supposed to serve and others are not. Don't think that the world is going to change because people need to have religious power. They need to be these officials. They need to have Pharisees. That's not how the kingdom works. Nor does it work when you think it's Herod, it's political power. When you're waiting around for either politics or political people or the government to help and serve and change this world, you're missing it. And if you're waiting around for religious systems and to change this world, it does not work. What I'm telling you is don't allow those things to creep into who you are and change the kind of person you are, because a little bit of that mentality changes your whole life. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Do you not remember how many baskets full you picked up? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I am always going to provide for you. Do you get it? I am always going to take care of you. I'm always going to give to you. You are always going to have immeasurably more than you can ask for. The question is, will you give immeasurably more? Will you serve immeasurably more? Will you care as much as I care? Will you serve people, or are you waiting around like the religious people and like the Herods and the political people to be served? Are you going to live your life serving, or are you going to wait around to be served? He says, that is why, because that is why I'm telling you, that's why I did all these miracles. And you know what's profound about this, guys, is that you see this actually taking place. Right when the church starts, the book of Acts actually records this. The first chapter talks about this big idea. When the church came together, they actually lived out this principle. It actually says, and when the church came together, they shared with one another, if you remember that passage, and they began to give to one another and to take care of each other. They began to live out the teachings of Jesus. This feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 is so connected to actually what was going on in that world, because there was Caesar who was in power, and Caesar as a dictator would do this as most dictators do. They control the resources, and then they starve the people from resources, and then they give just a little bit of resources, and then they go, see, don't you? Am I not awesome? Am I not gracious? Am I not gracious? Because people are used to having starved resources. So Caesar would do this. He would go to them, and he would do this. He would go, you know what? I'm going to give you bread. You're starved, I'm going to give you bread. And there were records of Caesar going around giving, passing out bread and saying, who is Lord? Who is Lord? Caesar is Lord. Jesus began doing the reverse, and people started breaking bread and saying, I don't know about Caesar, but I'll tell you who's Lord. Jesus is Lord. So it changed everything about them. Changed everything about them. See, this is the kind of trajectory, this is the kind of life that you and I need to live. That we live a life serving each other, moving towards that. That changes everything about our lives. So my question is, who are you serving? Who are you serving? Hey, I'm excited because we get a chance to serve. We get a chance to stretch and actually go and expand this campus. We get to stretch and push ourselves to serve more people. And that's why I am so pumped that we're starting a metro campus. We are starting a metro campus. In fact, why don't you just keep on putting your hands together? Let me introduce Kristen to you. Can we do that? Kristen, come on up. Kristen. Hey. Hey. Guys, meet Kristen Young. Kristen is a mother of two. She's got a master's in education, but she loves to bedazzle everything. That's her total talent. her talent. But I want to introduce you to our Metro Campus Director. She will be leading the campus. We're pumped about that. Kristen has been a part of Mosaic long before we actually had our first service. In fact, our logo, our green and black logo, was actually green and green and brown. And she made this before our church, our first year. She made this mug, and she actually put in our logo my name, Naeem. Look at that. And I was like, one day I will hire you. That was it. I was like, done. But she is a part of our community, part of our culture for the longest time. And we're just pumped about that. We're pumped about that. And what this means is what? We are launching when?
April 1st, which is actually Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Awesome. And what that means is that if those of you who got one of these, we need people to sign up to be a part of your team, right?
Totally. I have room for all of you.
No, not all of us, right?
I mean, like most.
Most of you, okay. Okay. You can't take everybody. Can't take everybody.
All right, fair
okay.
enough.
Okay, okay. But hey, you pumped about it?
I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm really excited to go into a part of Charlotte where it's not super populated with churches to reach people that maybe don't think they have an option right now. But I think I'm the most excited thinking forward that this could become like a second hope center. And
Okay.
Our two hope centers are the beginning of hope centers all over Charlotte. So no matter where people are in our city, they would really have a community that loves them, and Mosaic could really be the epicenter of hope in Charlotte.
Whoa, hey!
Right?
Awesome, give her a hand.
Thanks.
Hey, we're excited about you.
Thank you,
we're excited
pumped.
About you. Hey, so if they wanna say hey to you, and the tent?
Yes, I'll be under the tent.
Okay, and you're
staying dry.
Okay, your two girls and your
yes,
amazing
Peter
husband.
Peter and my daughters will be out there.
Awesome.
Running
awesome.
Around. Yeah.
But give her a hand, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks. So here's how we get to actually move from being people who live our lives trying to be blessed and move to being a blessing. And so every year, twice a year, I talk about, hey, join. We want you to join our volunteer staff. We want to join one of our teams. And so you walked in, you probably got one of these. And so here's the deal. With Mosaic, 65% of our people already volunteer, which is a very high number for an organization. When 65% of the organization actually volunteers, it's huge. Now, so that means is, most of you already volunteer. But then some of you are wondering, I don't know if I should do this or not. Here's what I want to challenge you with. Number one, you have to stretch to discover your reach. You have to stretch and do something. And maybe for you, regarding your spiritual journey, it is actually just joining a team. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to look through this. We've got a connection team. We've got M Kids here. We've got worship arts. We've got a production team. And in fact, if you're watching online, you're like, hey, I watch online. I'm not a part of the city. You can actually serve as a host. If you've ever joined us online, there are hosts, there are people who don't live in this area, but actually join us and they volunteer. They're part of the host team online, talking and chatting and connecting with people, responding to their prayer requests. And so you can do that as well. There's a lot of opportunity for a lot of us to actually stretch and do something we've never done before. The process is very simple. You serve twice a month. That's it. For 6 months, twice a month, that's 12 times. It's very, very simple. The way you fill this out, let me just give you some directions on that, is that basically you fill out your information, your email, and then you kind of circle what campus you want to be a part of, North or Metro. North is obviously this, and Metro is the campus that we're going to be launching on Easter. Love for you to be a part of this. We need about 150 new volunteers. Here's why. We're starting a brand new community with the stuff we do times two. I mean, so we need double the amount of people. And here's the big thing. Most of the stories that I get and I get to be a part of and hear are really stories that you had something to do with, if not everything to do with. So it's you guys talking to someone in the lobby and connecting with someone and inviting them to a group or praying for them. I've heard stories of people just going up to people and just giving them a hug. I mean, just a story of people leaning at the cross and people just putting their hands on them and praying for them. People just giving them a hug just as a stranger, people walking in, not knowing what it means to be a part of a community. You see, I don't know if you know this, but the kinds of people that come to Mosaic are not perfect people. They're not people who got everything going to, everything's all good. They're walking in and wondering, does God love them? Is there a place for them? Can God actually forgive them? Can they turn and move and live beyond what they were used to? All of these things happen, not because I get up here and the band gets up here and we sing. The stuff that happens on stage doesn't even compare, I mean, to what actually happens, what life change happens in the lobby, in the parking lot, in conversations with M Kids. And so I want you to be a part of that. Remember, your calling is not found, it's cultivated. I know what I'm doing right now is because I volunteered to do, you know, a welcome at a church, you know, 15 years ago and said, I'll get up on stage and say hello. And I discovered, hey, maybe I can actually do this. So you never know. You never know. You see, it's action that leads to insight. And so I want you to stretch and push to discover. Hey, I want to pray for you, and then we'll take a minute and fill this out. And we'd love for you to fill this out. Love for you to risk and stretch yourself. It might be uncomfortable, but we believe in you, and we have resources and support to help you in this. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you so much. I thank you for moments like this where we discover, God, that life is so much about being the right kind of people. God, I know that in life there are times, there are moments where you ask us to do something, not so we can get something, but you ask us to do things so we can actually become someone. And so God, we want to become the people we were meant to be. No longer Frankensteins or Barbies. We want to be people who reach. We want to be people, Lord God, who reach our potential and reach our calling and our purpose and discover who we are. And so, Lord, we commit to stretching ourselves and pushing ourselves and moving towards that. I pray you lead people in filling this out. And God, help us to respond in a powerful way. God, I'm looking forward to all the life change that's going to happen as we kick off a brand new campus. God, we love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, fill this out. We'll give you a couple of minutes, and there'll be ushers on the sides. They'll have buckets, and you can just pass these along to the ends of the aisle, and they'll collect them for you. And then we'll sing together. All right, God bless you guys.